Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 114 for the week of September 29th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, indeed. I wish my mic wasn't busted because every time you speak, I hear popping. Sucks.
This is the week Smash Brothers 3DS comes out. I hope you guys are going to have fun with that.
Yes, play it while listening to our podcast. Yes, indeed. All right.
I would. Indeed. I had one.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah, sorry, folks. I'm just trying to get the doctor.
Technology
is
being a jerk.
Yeah.
Technology is being a jerk right now for us.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Mo, you want to go over the comic rankings? I don't have them up because my computer is deciding to be slow and won't let me load them.
All right, I'll start us off then. The Japanese comic rankings for the week of September 15th through 21st is in 10th place, Q Holder Volume 4, 9th place, The Night in the Area, Volume 42, 8th place, Shijo Saikyo no Deshi, Kenichi, oh, it's Kenichi the Mightiest Disciple, Volume 58.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm lost with the Japanese name. I didn't. Okay, 7th place, Kindaichi Shonen no Jinchenbo R, The Fire of Young Kindaichi Returns, Volume 3. 6th place, Hajime no Ippo, Volume 108. 5th place, Skip Beat, Volume 35. 4th, Daya no A, Ace of Diamond, Volume 43. 3rd place, One Piece, Volume 75. 2nd place, Fairy Tail, Volume 45. And 1st place, Kimi ni Todoke, Volume 22.
Alright, okay. And what do we have for the American comic rankings?
Okay, for the New York Times bestseller list for the week of September 14th through 20th, in 10th place, Attack on Titan Volume 2, 9th place, The Seven Deadly Sins Volume 4, 8th place, Attack on Titan No Regrets Volume 1, 7th place, Black Butler Volume 1, 6th place, Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D Volume 6, 5th place, Terraform Mars Volume 2. I believe that Indiana is going to debut sometime this coming October.
Debuted.
We only let them know where. Oh, okay, fine. It's already debuted. I forgot when it debuted, but yeah. 4th place, Monster Musume Volume 4. 3rd place, Attack on Titan Volume 13. 2nd place, Attack on Titan Volume 1. The heck?
Mm-hmm.
And 1st place, Noragami, Stray God, Volume 1.
Cool.
First place.
Alright, cool. Alright, what other news do we have this fine week?
Okay, hang on. For the American anime manga releases for the week of September 21st to 27th,
mm-hmm.
For the anime releases, we have Attack on Titan, the DVD Blu-ray, Part 2, and the Limited Edition, Funimation. Well, I guess that's probably reasonable. I mean, it's not like Aniplex, crazy. Also, Attack on Titan, DVD, Blu-ray, Part 2. Funimation exclusive collector's edition. Way more expensive than the other two.
Yeah.
Ghost in the Shell, 25th Anniversary Edition, Blu-ray. Camper, Blu-ray, Complete Collection. That one series, you know, I forgot what it's about again. K-On, Season 1, DVD, Complete Collection. Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt, DVD, Blu-ray, Complete Anime Classic Edition. Oh, dang, I want that. Yes, I want that. Mm. Pokemon Black and in Unova, DVD Set 1. Robotech, the Classic Collection, Volume 1. That's for the anime releases. Now, for the manga releases, we have a super long list. Get your list open, all please. Right. I don't want to do this myself. Okay.
All right, I'm opening it. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll just start off then. We have Excel World Volume 1, Apple and Honey, One Shot, Are You Alice Volume 6, Aaron's Absurd Armada Omnibus Volume 3, Bloody Cross Volume 4, Club for Crossdressers, or no?
Yep, all right.
Defrag Volume 2, okay. Dance in the Vampire.
Oi!
Oh.
Listen when I'm speaking. I said I'm ready to do it myself now, too.
Okay.
Alright, Dance in the Vampire Bund, The Memories of Sledgehammer, Volume 3.
The Disappearance of Nagato, Yuki-chan, Volume 6.
Durarara, Yellow Scarves Arc, Volume 1.
G.A. Geyusuka Art Design Class, Volume 6.
Girls and Panzer, Volume 2.
Gong, Volume 2.
I Am Alice, Body Swap in Wonderland, Volume 1.
What's up these Alice manga these days? Mm. The Moon and the Sun, graphic novel. I mean, volume.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
A new season of Young Leaves.
Huh. Yotaika Volume 4.
Shoulder or Coffin, Kuro, Volume 4.
Spice and Wolf, Volume 9.
Soul Eater, Volume 22.
Twittering Birds Never Fly.
Until Death Do Us Part, Volume 7. Oh, Lord.
But what the title? Vagina Manifesto. Why did I have to actually read that?
Why do you think I interrupted you when I did? Because I didn't want to read that. Void's Enigmatic Mansion, Volume 7.
World War Blue, Volume 7.
Harlech Omnibus, Volume 3.
You See Teacher, Volume 1.
Boom! Score, Derek. Yeah. You can hear me all right, right?
I can hear you fine, okay. Someone. I
wish that fuzzy background noise, static.
Yeah, I have a little trouble. Yeah. Okay, for other releases, we have Arcana Heart 3 Love Mac for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita game.
Mm-hmm. Ara no Sergei, Ode to an Unborn Star for the PlayStation 3.
And Hyrule Warriors for the Wii U.
I wonder if that's actually any good.
Yeah, I'm quite sure too. It's a Warriors game. I mean,
I don't have a Wii U, so.
Well, if it's already if Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors and all these other Warriors like Gundam Warriors are actually popular in some way, then this is gonna be popular too.
Well, plus, I'm not asking if it's popular. You will recall.
Oh,
it any good? Because keep in mind, the Final Fantasy series continues to be popular.
Good point.
Yeah, not so much in America anymore.
Oh, man, Final Fantasy 15 looks hilarious. They just drive around in cars. I'm like, well.
Yes, well. Alright, what other news do we have?
Okay, for other news, very short this time. This is very interesting. The Texas Library denies request to move Vampire Knight manga.
Go, Texas.
Library director, the logo Citizens Defend, 75 times from the minister's petition. So, basically they want to remove the 75, they want to remove the series because, the local minister of, Cleveland, Texas, wait, there's a Cleveland in Texas?
Apparently there's an Ontario in California. That's confusing.
This is very confusing, yeah, it is very confusing, but yeah, so there's a Cleveland, Texas, and the minister from there, he had a petition to remove the series because he described it as demonic. Okay.
That's hilarious.
So, okay.
That is pretty hilarious.
It wasn't just Vampire Knight, it's also Twilight and Blood Promise and other books. Perpetuate the theme of vampires in relationship with young teens. It is kind of funny how Twilight got mixed into this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of true, vampires, well, I mean, it kind of depends on where the vampires come from. I think that's the part that these people are missing, is that if you go by the traditional definition of a vampire, then yes, it's an undead body brought back to life via demonic influence. With a lot of these series, that is, you know, they don't use that part of the lore. So, it's...
Don't let him read Sakamoto Sakamoto Goddess, because he'll probably not understand the humor behind that.
No, but well, obviously he's a minister. But no, but I mean, it's like saying it'd be like saying the orcs in Warcraft are obviously evil because orcs were evil in Tolkien. You know, saying that one that one piece of work that uses a certain item from another story or folklore where the character or item was evil is you know, just like, you know, stupid, because if they're not using it as an evil creature or character in the work that's in question, but they did in the original work, then, you know, that's besides the point. But anyway, what else do we have?
Yeah, he also doesn't like Harry Potter for similar reasons.
Well, yeah, he's a he's a joyless turd, so ignore him.
And one last bit of news. One Piece's spin-off manga series is going to start in December. It's going the spin-off manga is going to be about Luffy and the Straw Hat Crew in Psycho Jump. Guess who went Psycho Jump before then? Chopper Man. It was the Chopper Man. It was apparently the worst spin-off ever in history.
Well, they did make a joke about baby penises, so yeah, whoever was responsible for that deserves to burn. I would say
the same person who's writing this.
Son of a bitch. How did they get out of hell?
I know.
Say, Beelzebub, you've got some answering to do. I thought we had a deal. You lock him away, and I... moving on.
But yeah, it's going to ship on December 5th, so look forward to it, everyone, because, you know, I kind of wonder why is it got to be... I mean, okay, we got the Straw Hats. We do miss half the Straw Hats. Okay, about a quarter of them. I do miss a quarter of the Straw Hats anyway, regardless. But why can't it be focused on other people in the One Piece world? Like,
does it say what this is going to be about?
It just says it will revolve around Luffy and the Straw Hat Pirates.
Oh, of course.
If it's going to be, it's probably going to be one of those chibi stuff again. You know, the little four coma stuff, I bet.
Probably.
I bet it is.
Well,
which will still be fun regardless, because, you know, it's always meant to be...
Not if it's by this guy who has that sense of humor.
Yeah.
Lovely. Oh, well.
I wonder if that was the same person who did the Naruto, who did that Rock Lee one.
I don't know. Apparently that one was actually good.
I didn't like it.
Apparently.
I didn't like the poop joke.
Yeah, I didn't look at it because, one, it's for children. And even though I have read many a thing meant for children, those things meant for children were made by people that were trying to actually entertain the any parents that might be watching, while the stuff, these chibi manga, are entirely for children. These things that you're meant to give your child and then have them read so the little brat will shut up, as opposed to shows that I do like that are for children, which are meant to be, hey, you are the adult. You want to watch something with your kid. Here's something your kid can enjoy and that you can find something enjoyable in, too.
You know. Which makes me wonder, is Smash Brothers 3DS compatible with the 2DS? Anyways, that's a lot of topic, sorry.
Yeah, well, alright, what are the other news?
I'm not looking forward to this One Piece spin-off.
I'm probably just going to ignore it.
I'll check it out anyway, because I still want to know what it is, but I am probably just ignoring it, because I really don't feel that One Piece needs a spin-off series at all. There's already enough of it in other ways.
Indeed. Alright. Well, that's enough of that.
Let's move on.
Alright, let's move on. This week we are going over Attack on Titan Volume 12. I know we said we were going to go over 12 and 13, but circumstances... Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah!
Circumstances, such as people not listening to me.
What do you mean?
I specifically said volumes 12 and 13, and somehow that turned into Fairy Tale and volume 43. You got one thing right about that. One thing. The three. I don't know how you got Fairy Tale from Attack on Titan and four from one.
Well, as we know, they have something in common as the next volume of Fairy Tail has something with Giants. Titans and Giants.
You get off this one time. Next time I'm bitch slapping you. Alright, let's talk about the actual thing that we did read. And so,
yeah.
Alright, so, we begin with, you know, more talking. They're talking about how, oh yeah, Ymir ate Bertolt and Rhino's friend. They talk about the, you know, about stuff that happened in the past, etc. And then Eren tries to beat them up, but they cripple him. and start running away from the Titans while they're being chased by the Survey Corps. And so a big battle ensues, whereupon many a Titan ends up appearing. And let's see, yeah. It's pretty much a badass action scene for the majority of this volume. You know, we could go into specific, you know, into specific details and all. But, yeah, I mean, it was just a bunch of kick-ass action scenes. I particularly like the how, you know, you've got Commander Irwin who gets his arm chomped off by a Titan. And as he's being carried away, he's still giving them orders. And I'm like, this dude's a badass. Quite frankly. Quite simply put. Yes, indeed. And then, and so yeah, so they're fighting the Titans that are you know, they've led the Titans there to fight the Titan Shifters, but at the same time, they have to fight the Titans because, you know, otherwise they're going to get eaten. And then, let's see what else we're fighting. They managed to get Aaron and, you know, Aaron and Krista away. And then something bad happens. We meet a familiar face. Dun, dun, dun. It's the Titan that ate Aaron and Mikasa's mom. Or Aaron's mom and Mikasa's foster mother, essentially. And he... Yeah. And he ends... He or it tries to go after them, but then Hans tries to save them, but it does him no good. He ends up getting eaten as well. Which... kind of sucks, because Hans was awesome. Even though, you know, he kind of didn't really do all that much. And then, let's see, from there, you've got them. You got Hans that ends up getting eaten. And then, you have a touching moment between Aaron and Mikasa. And then, let's see, yeah. And then Aaron's like, I will protect you. And then he tries to punch the Titan. And, yeah. It actually does more good than you would think because the other Titans end up attacking it. And so just wondering, wait, what's up? What's going on here is, you know, is Aaron, you know, can Aaron control the Titans? Perhaps, but yeah. And then we end with Ymir and ends up staying behind, but everyone else escapes, and Ymir and Berthold and Reiner end up escaping as well. And yeah, that is the volume. Yeah, I mean, I have to say it was a good volume. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, mostly because it was just entirely in action scenes, which makes it hard to to summarize everything. But then again, we're not here to summarize. We're here to talk about, you know, actually talk about it, not say this is what happened, but, you know, not this is. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. I think I've been abandoned by my co-host.
I'm back.
Okay, good. All right, excellent. I've gone ahead and I went over and I kind of summarized what happened this volume. So, what did you think about this volume?
Well, there was some little, like, a weird, like, sorts of betrayal and tension going on. And for me, it was up to the very end of the volume where they were pretty much on that little, hey, remember me? Remember me from the very first chapter? I'm like, oh my god, not you again. You know, that one Titan that ate Aaron's mother. I totally like how it went out too.
Exactly. Yeah, it ends up getting eaten by these other Titans.
So it was kind of sad. It's kind of sad how Han, like, I'm gonna take care of this. Don't worry, kids. And all of a sudden, nope, got eaten. I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah, it turns out that just once again, regular people are kind of useless in this world.
Yeah. So. I mean, it was kind of funny because he was around since the very first chapter, so I was like, oh, well, I mean, he wasn't considered a main character, but he was still considered, like, one of the actual important characters, and he just got, you know, like, well, he's dead. But at least that time got followed after him.
Hmm. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. But yeah, when I first read that chapter where Aaron did the scream, I actually thought he actually punched the Titan out. Wait, did he just punch the Titan? Like, no, he didn't. Oh.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, you know that just like that. That panel where you see the other Titan just, you know, appear behind him. And at first I was like, is he manifesting his stand? Is that what's happening? So, oh Lord, we're following JoJo's Bizarre Adventure where we take one power set and replace it with a completely different power set. Ah!
Everything is giant, though, instead. Like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. And yeah,
it was a good volume. Totally like how Azzy managed to wrap things up, despite that. I mean, I have to admit, Irvin was actually freaking badass in this volume, despite losing his arm in the end.
Yeah, it was.
No, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes to be a true bad A, you have to lose a limb. Says Shanks.
Well, Dunman is like, I didn't lose an arm, but my arm's kind of out of commission for the time being, so I'll just buy one arm anyway.
Yeah.
From Xenoblade Chronicles.
Indeed. Yeah, I...
He didn't really say that, but I'm just imagining probably what he'd say.
Yeah, I have to...
Yeah.
It was good stuff. Alright, shall we go ahead and move on to the chapter commentary?
Yes.
Alright, we have issue 44 of Weekly Shonen Jump for this year, and we've got some stuff to go over, starting off with World Trigger, Chapter 76, Shuji Miwa, and we get a color spread, which, it's a little sparse because it doesn't actually have a background, which on the one hand is stylistically interesting, but it's also stinking boring.
You know? Yeah, very boring.
It's like, oh, hey, look at us, we're being fancy. And it's like, this reminds me of when I was in high school and I was doing a webcomic, except I wanted to have color, except I didn't want to actually bother coloring everything. So I just took this one character whose hair was red and colored it and left everything back in black and white. And I was like, it's stylish. Except everyone called me on my bluff. They're like, you're just a lazy bum, aren't you? I was like, yes. Shut up. I was like, I like it like this. It looks good. Looks all Frank Miller and crap. So, but yeah. Needless to say, that didn't last very long. But let's talk about the chapter itself. It is... Yeah, it's a fight scene. It's pretty excellent. We get to see that Miwa has the advantage because, you know... Tryon can't block his bullets, and we see that the leader is a bit on the ropes, but then we also see that Osamu is in trouble because Mira is kind of, you know, not letting him go. And then we also see, we also see the fight between Yuma and, what's his face, the sword guy.
I think it starts with a V, but I forgot his name. I almost started saying Vizier, but I just call him Vizier, but I don't remember his name.
Nice. Yeah. So, that's the fight. That's the chapter.
Vizier.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, it does. It does kind of look like a Vizier type of character.
But yeah, so was it Shuji Miwa? I think I'm going to have to remember his name now since they're shoving it in our face.
Yes, good thing we can remember that.
He's actually, he's got the advantage over, Hiring. I'll say Hiring for now. It's probably Hiring. But yeah.
Indeed. I mean, it was a nice chapter. We also got a little bit of, you know, looked back at Yuma's, backstory. And, you know, the whole, hey, here's how sound tactics work. If you're fighting a stronger guy, just postpone him till your friends get there. If you're fighting a stronger guy and there's nobody coming to help you, run away!
I'm quite sure that's actually how everything will work.
Yeah, Genma Saotome would be so proud.
I'm gonna imagine that.
That was quite possibly my favorite part in the anime, was just how they built it up. It's like, Sotome's secret technique! And he starts, takes the pose, turns around, and then you just see him running like hell.
Well, the plan was to run away and take buy time to find out a way to defeat your opponent. That's what the ultimate technique is. But we all like to see it as a whole, just run away and don't try and fight them in the first place.
Well, to be honest, if you're fighting multiple assailants, for example, with a sword, in a sword fight, one of the techniques that I was taught was that you don't stick around and try to fight the whole group. What you do is you run.
Yeah.
You hope you're faster than them, and you run, and you hope that they are not all equally fast, because what happens is that they start to spread out. You know, faster ones are keeping up with you, while the slower ones are further behind, at which point you turn around, cut down the closest one to you, and then you keep running.
So did you learn it from fighting Kimatu in Skyrim? Kimatu and his soldiers, if you weren't...
Sadly, they weren't all equally fast. All I did was just wail on them because I was too high level by that point.
Well, you could lure them into a narrow area and then you kill them one by one. Or be smart
and
just...
Well,
yesterday I actually killed a giant level 3. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I just...
Why were guards were really cowards? I cannot believe it. Why are our soldiers in every fantasy world cowards?
Yeah. Moving on.
Basically, you know, stall by time.
Exactly. Hope so.
I know Alex.
It's a sound technique. It's a sound strategy. All right. Let's move on to Naruto chapter 693 here once again.
Oh, great.
So, if anyone wonders why I hate this manga, of course... You know, Sasuke is like, I'm gonna kill you because I need to destroy the beasts or whatnot. And then you're like, oh, great, he's a putz again. And then you've got Sakura who's just like all having this, you know, this inner turmoil. And I'm like, Kishimoto, please show that you actually know how to write. And then it turns out, no, he doesn't, because all she does is say, you know. He's like, I know there's nothing I can do, even though I love you. He's like, please, you know, don't do this. Come with us. And then Sasuke stabs her through the chest. And on the one hand, I'm like, Sasuke, you dick. On the other hand, I'm like, oh, thank you. I've lost all respect for the character of Sakura. But it turns out it's just a genjutsu. And I'm like, son of a...
Really? Because look at those blood right there coming.
Well, you see, that's the thing is that... What annoys me about this is because when I saw that at first, I was like, okay, thank you, finally. He's tried to kill you once, and now he's actively stab you through the chest. And if she's still in love with this guy afterwards, I'll be like, Kishimoto, you don't know how people actually work. This is stupid. Or at least you don't know how sane, rational people work. In which case, why am I reading a manga about a crazy woman?
Why am I?
It's... I want to like Sakura. I mean, the first read-through for this series, I didn't see why people hated her. But the more of her I read in this part of the series, the more I start realizing, yeah, this is a pretty awful character. Except I don't blame her. I blame the stupid writer that's responsible for it. Because I just know that he's going to use the Sakura remembers getting stabbed through the chest. But she's all, oh, it was just a genjutsu. He didn't actually hurt me. And I'm like... He put you under a hyper-realistic illusion and made you think he stabbed you through the chest. But still going to... I'm still to see it. Kishimoto's going to use this as a... Oh, no, he didn't actually do it. Therefore, she is still in love with him. And I'm just like... If that's what actually happens at the end of this series, I'm going to decide, you know what? Kishimoto, you are the biggest hack in manga. This is... Because, well, here's the problem, is that whenever you write a story, you start off making certain promises. Like, for example, you start off by, you know, you have character A and character B. Character A likes character B. By setting that up, by spending time on that concept, you are introducing the idea that character A will end up with character B. Of course, this can be altered and whatnot, but you have to handle it properly. You can't just randomly say, oh, this doesn't matter, this thing that I set up, that this promise that I made at the beginning doesn't matter anymore. You know, there has to be an actual reason for why you're not fulfilling that promise. Naruto has not given us a reason for why that promise will not be fulfilled, but he has given us plenty of reasons why the promise of Sakura will end up with Sasuke will not be fulfilled, because Sasuke is a complete twit, and he is quite possibly the worst character in existence. And yet, I really shouldn't focus on this so much. I keep saying I've given up shipping, but there's a difference between caring about something because shipping and caring about something because it shows exactly how awful a writer is. Anyway, what else do we go over? They start fighting. Gravity and stuff, and they are fighting and whatnot, and they end up on the, they end up at where they were at the end of part one. And so, yeah, that's meaningful, right? 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 This manga sucks. Well, you still there? Yeah, of course not. Yeah, Naruto. My only consolation is that it is almost done. So, yeah. Looking forward to not having to deal with this crap anymore. Alright, I'm gonna move on. Let's talk about Sporting Salt. Number two, Sports Medicine. And, well, this one kind of gives us a clear idea of what it's going to be. It's gonna follow the Monster of the Week format, essentially. I say Monster of the Week, but it's more like Problem of the Week, individual storylines, which is kind of promising.
Okay, which one are we on?
Sporting Salt.
Yeah.
So it's promising that it's focusing on, you know, individual one-chapter stories, rather than, I'm going to tell a long, arcing, epic story, blah, blah, blah. I actually do find it promising that we've got manga that, while the art style looks kind of a little bit, I don't know, I wouldn't say old-fashioned, it just looks unusual, but the storytelling style is old-fashioned, you know, where you begin, I mean, it does have a bit of a carryover with, you know, our main character showing up and, you know, at the school, and we carry on from there, but then the main plot of this chapter is the dude, the tennis guy being injured and him treating him so that he isn't, you know, so that he does better. And while I have to say the massive improvement that you see from these characters because of medicine is a bit ridiculous, but I do like how we're taking, here we've got a thread connecting the story to the two stories to each other, but we're focusing on individual plots for each chapter, which I find is very promising, because I do feel that manga need to start like that. You know, you can start off by telling an epic ongoing story, but unless you give me something to be satisfied about in the first chapter or in the first couple chapters individually, I'm not going to be interested in your manga.
So wait, you're saying that when the series starts up, they should at least do like some one-off stories here and there before they start getting into an actual main story?
I do, yes, because it gives us a chance to get to know the characters.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree on that.
And, you know, I mean, granted, if you're writing a book,
Bleach kind of did that. I guess Naruto may have done that before.
Not as much. But
did One Piece do that? No, One Piece just kept going and going.
No, it just had longer ones.
No. It did have long stories, but it had other little in-between parts. Missed them.
Well, yeah, true. But, you know, the thing is that a lot of, like, say, you know, like Nisekoi, Ghost Sweeper Mikami, you know, a lot of manga that just start off with the, self-contained chapters, which, granted, you don't want to do this in a book, because you want to get into the main plot while still introducing the characters, so you got to balance that, but manga has the advantage of being done in installments, And the medium allows you to tell a complete story in the amount of space given. You know, it's basically a collection of short stories to start off with.
Maybe that's why Naruto did it wrong with what was that one series that he did?
I don't know.
Cell Symphony, there you go.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've got that, and it really does help. And it also, what I like about it is it feels a bit old school. Because a lot of manga are all about, oh, hey, let's begin by telling an ongoing story with all these characters. But this one is actually doing it old school and telling us, individual
stories. I like the old school side.
Which makes me enjoy it a lot more,
Mm-hmm.
So, I was a fan. All right, moving on. Toriko, chapter, don't do this to me, Toriko,
294. Wait, where to say that?
Many pages in. But yeah, so... so Shigematsu goes flying, and then we get a bit about how, oh hey, blah blah blah, semi-scientific, blah blah blah, philosophical, blah blah blah, just punch them really hard. That will make them turn good again. And so Shigematsu goes flying, and you're just like, what's going on?
Well, Shigematsu kind of got his conscious return, but at the moment he ended up being food.
Yeah, he gets torn apart. It looks like, at first I didn't catch that, but reading through it again, I was like, oh well, yeah, he's gone. But yeah, and then we've got Toriko fighting I forget his name.
Tepe,
that's it. Yeah, and they do a bunch of stuff with you know. Punching and growing arms bigger, etc. And it's kind of awesome. But then Tepe just teleports away and disappears. And oh no, Komatsu is in danger. They can't revive his organ, etc. And it looks like it basically, his heart vanished into thin air. And I don't know how they're keeping him alive, but whatever. So it's decided that they have to go to the next continent, Area 7, to get Pear, the next of Acacia's food treasures. So
it's the soup.
Yes, so we're kind of thinking, oh, okay, interesting, I wonder what this will be like, but it looks like we're moving through Acacia's full-course meal a lot faster than I thought we would, because...
So how about that jet, fork and jet stuff, huh?
That was crazy. Also,
yeah.
Oda, you may want to sue. No, they wouldn't. They're friends. But, because I find it very interesting how, just with regular ingredients to start off with, we went at a much slower pace, but now it's like, we're going to get through this sucker fast. So I'm wondering if Toriko is moving towards its end. Which would be a shame, because that would be ending very quickly, and this is a series that I really feel should keep going.
It's got about like 7 areas to go through now, and the 7th area is going to be to save Komatsu, not rescue him, but to save him this time.
Right. Yeah. So, it is a shame that his character is being used by like that. But whatever, it was a good fight. I thought
he is the chef. You know what? Without him, how are they going to prepare those really amazing foods in a proper way? They're going to be a disadvantage right there, actually, when you think about it.
Indeed. Yep. All right, well, let's move on to Nisekoi, chapter 140, where you would think...
It's a Tsugumi-centric chapter. Yeah,
you would think Tsugumi would have learned by now. It's like, I mean, she knows that this little vial is going to cause trouble, and yet I'm like, just leave it. It's none of your business. If you pick it up, it will cause you so much trouble. But then we find out that... Raku picks it up and ends up spraying it in Chitoge's face, and it turns out that it puts her to sleep, and then Claude says, the only way you can awaken them is with a kiss. And it's like, why would you have this? And it's like, oh, you know.
What if it's a guy using on a guy?
Yeah, I know, right?
Or a girl using on a girl.
Hey, that's all right. No.
Hey, I'm just saying, in terms of standards...
Yeah.
Some women would not be okay with it.
Well, yeah. But speaking as a stereotypical male, oh yeah. No, but anyway. Yeah, I do like the reaction where it's like, well, there you have it. And, Yes, one sec. One moment. You keep talking about the chapter.
Okay, so yeah, I said. Like I said, the chapter is a Sugumi-centric chapter, and why did she take the bottle? She took the bottle, and she could just left it there, and the problem is that I'm thinking at some point with all these Sugumi-centric chapters, some of these will actually play a major, major key role in the plot, and one of these so-called joke items will actually end up being very serious.
Yeah.
I do remember a series like that did that. No, was it? No, I think it was One Piece with Sanji's nosebleed, which actually ended up becoming a major, major problem.
That was stupid.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Really, it was stupid.
So. It's probably gonna happen at some point too with this one. So yeah, so you know, the little hijinks of the whole perfume spraying, like basically whoever holds the perfume and someone, only they can be woken by the person who sprayed it in their face. But how that works, because
DNA.
They're holding it. DNA, right, DNA.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it was kind of funny when Marco, she got sprayed, it's like
yeah, that was, I did love that. I mean, he gets Chitoga and then he gets Onodera and he's all, oh no, he's like, oh no, I can't kiss her, that wouldn't be right. And Rui is just like, if ever I'm asleep and can only be awakened with a kiss, I'd want Ichicho to do it. That's what she says. Yeah, and I'm just like, yes, that is kind of what she says. Yeah, and then Rui trying to force him. Yeah, and then, yes, Marika was, he's like, oh no, what are we going to do? He's like, he's like, oh wait, start with Kosaki. No, start with the mistress. And then Marika's grabbing his pant leg, and he's like, you're awake, aren't you? Then she tries to force herself on him, but he ends up spraying her too, so. Yeah, and then Sugumi accidentally ends up spraying Ichijo, and she's
somehow.
Like, oh, I have no choice, I have to do it. And then Chitoge wakes up and asks, what are you doing? And you get the absolute best face Sugumi has ever given.
You get the face for this chapter.
And quite possibly the face for the series, because this is just fantastic. And turns out it was a diluted prototype, and so they'd wake, it's like a 1/6,000th of its normal potency, and so everyone's waking up on their own, and then Sugumi sprays herself. It's like, oh no, she fled to the world of dreams, and the other girl's like, we know the whole story, nobody's judging you! And then, yeah, and then, Marika. Tachibana. Asks, like, hey, is there any chance to get the full strength product? So, yeah, this was one of the better chapters involving Sugumi. A lot of them are really funny, and somehow they continue to be funny despite the fact that they're just so routine and predictable.
It's a gag. It's clearly a gag.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you always know what's going to end. There's going to be a solution that, you know, besides the one that was originally stated, and then Claude is going to come in and explain why, and so, you know.
Which is why I think at some point it will actually end up being, tossed aside, going, nope, you actually have to do it. Like, what? It's a major problem now. Like, what? Yeah, I'm still waiting on that.
Yeah, so I quite liked it. All right, let's move on to High Five Cluster, Chapter 3.
Yeah, this is the last chapter for us until it somehow makes it through.
Yeah, and yeah, we get to meet another one of the characters, and he's big and bombacious, etc., like manga characters often are, and then they get called to a place where there's a high-speed robbery on the highway. And it turns out that the new character has rollerblades that he uses.
That's a totally strange gun he's holding, though.
Yeah, it is weird-looking, but yeah. It turns out that, you know, everyone has, like, these items that can help them use other, labels.
Yeah.
And PETA has some goggles that will help him use other labels, and what's-his-face has his prosthetic hand, and then new character has the rollerblades, which let him go way fast. And it turns out, and this is where it gets stupid. Turns out that his hi-fi cluster has the genius of Isaac Newton, who discovered, who created the theory of gravity, and then it turns out that thanks to this hi-fi cluster, this dude can calculate and control gravity. I'm just gonna say this, anime and manga Isaac Newton is a badass. Because first he ends up traveling to an alternate world where he uses the power of fate and causality to control a massive empire, and then here apparently he can calculate and control gravity.
Wait, which was that former one from?
Escaflowne.
Oh my goodness, are you serious? I didn't even get that far in Escaflowne.
The bad guy is Isaac Newton in that series. So yes.
My god!
I am dead serious. It's hilarious.
I'm doing this right now.
This is one of those things where you take, you take a person from real life and, you know, then ascribe an ability to them that's outside of what they actually did. But whatever, it's kind of cool. Although it is kind of broken really early on in the chapter, because, like, you know, got the one guy that he can do swords really well. This other guy, I can see very well and see information, etc. Third dude we get introduced to controls gravity. Do you have any idea how long it took for One Piece to pull that card?
I don't need to fall at all.
This is the most broken ability ever, and it's being given to the third main character with powers we've been introduced to. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But also kind of
fascinating. I hope the series makes it, though.
But yeah, also a bit fascinating. So,
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to Bleach chapter... What the hell is Ganju doing here?
So it's chapter What the Hell is Ganju Doing Here? Okay.
Yes, I don't care about the actual number. That is its chapter number. No, I mean, seriously.
It's actually chapter 598.
Well, yeah, but it's just... There's no reason for him to be here, and yet Kubo is like, hey, remember the Soul Society arc? That was good, wasn't it? Let me see if I can repeat that by having all the characters there. And I'm like, you haven't done anything with Ganju in years. Although I do hope that he uses this opportunity at some point to introduce the fact that Ichigo's dad was a member of their family. I don't remember if it was explained, whether it was like, oh, he's a cousin or whatnot. But I hope that's introduced. So
it'll probably come at the very end, just for the fun of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, they end up getting shot up, and you have you have everyone that regrets, oh, Uryu is not here, and it's mostly Orihime going, oh, I wonder if he'll come back, and oh, you know, he was there with us, etc. And everyone's all sad, and of course the shippers are like, oh, look, she regrets that Uryu is not there. Clearly, she is in love with him and not with Ichigo, which, yeah.
Double standard.
We have been reading the same manga, right? I mean, really now, right? Anyone that thinks that she's got a thing for Uryu has not been paying attention.
She just cares about her friends.
Well, yeah, and also the fact
like
that
Sakura,
who
only cares about one person.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Kubo has been very obvious with Orihime. I mean, people that have been like, oh, she totally likes Uryu, well, yeah, and then they never interacted again. So years of no interaction trump whatever fans think. And the fact that, you know, Kubo continues to say, oh, no, nothing's changed. She's still got the hearts for Ichigo. So that hasn't changed. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Well, you don't really hear about those arguments anymore. At least I don't pay attention to them.
I
don't think they come up as much anymore, because it seems like Kubo's been pretty obvious about what he's trying to do. But who knows? We'll see how it ends. Apparently, I've heard that apparently Bleach is ending in November.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard it, but I don't know whether it's accurate, because that seems
a little too soon. Probably 2Gen. 2Gen always tends to get those sources, and they always tend to be the so-called right people on the internet. They were wrong sometimes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It does seem like it would be too soon for it to end, unless we're getting a really crappy ending, but who knows, as long as the important questions are answered, and we know which questions are.
We're probably done with seeing the Shinigami and the other people down in Soul Society. We're just going to stick to the Ryokyu now and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, but anyway, yep. We see the Nyanzol Vaizol, who has the wind, and he can make people avoid him. And it's like, if he can perceive a threat. And then it's like, huh, no. You can't jump get me from behind. And then What's-Her-Face is like, who said that they were that those soldiers were the enemy you can't detect? By the way, I'm such a bad A at weaving that I replaced your cloak with one of my with a fabric of my own while you weren't paying attention. And I'm like, and it is pretty awesome because you start off at the beginning of this scene, you see his whole cloak, and then after that, you don't see the bottom part from the front until you see that it now has her mark on it. So it's like, this could have happened at any point. And she apparently stabs him or crushes him using her fabric. And I have to say, I can't remember what her name is, but
she's
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's Senjumaro. That's it. Yes. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. So she's pretty awesome. I like this character a lot. She's like a non-creepy Mayuri for reasons of woman and me straight male. Ooga, ooga, ooga.
Still disturbing, but yeah, at least he's on their side.
Yep. All right. And
yay! This 2.0 version of what his name is dead now. I hope.
Yay! Stay dead.
Stay dead. I hate you because you remind me of someone I hate. Anyways.
So yeah. Moving on to Jumpstart Series number 4, Eld Live, which I don't know how long, you know, this is one I'm like, wait, are they doing the 3-chapter thing, or are they done with it?
To be honest, there's about 3 chapters of this, yeah. A total, if I remember reading, oh. And it's very long. Each of the chapters are very long.
Lord. Alright, well, turns out that it's by Akira Amano, the creator of Katekyo Hitman Reborn, and I have to say that, I don't know, it's an interesting art style. It's a much softer art style than you get with most shonen manga. So
if you've read Katekyo Hitman Reborn, you would know that some of these character designs resemble her previous series.
Good grief! But
you know, just kind of like you said with what was it? Electricist's Kazue Kato with her one shot. How you said the main character reminds you of someone I don't like, and you were discussing about that. Yeah, I totally see like 3 characters I recognize that I remember from the other series. Except in the case of one of them was nice. This other one's actually a real meaning.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I haven't read that manga, nor do I have any intention to after how I heard it ended.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically about a kid that hears voices and everyone thinks he's crazy, which theoretically that would mean yes, he is. But
yes, he is.
He's in school, turns out he gets picked up by an alien, and they're like, we're space police. And I kind of like that concept, and I like the design of the spaceship. It has a very fantasy sci-fi feel to it, you know, a completely impractical spaceship design that still looks really cool, which I like. And yeah, you've got a bunch of, you know, people. You find out that this girl in his class was a, you know, was a member of the space police. You see these other characters. Main character gets sent down to deal with a test. Turns out that the teacher at school is a monster, blah, blah, blah. I have to confess, I ended up getting bored and stopped reading.
Yeah. Did you get upset because you found the teacher was a monster?
I think I stopped reading before that. That was kind of like, that was a moment of like, oh man, come on. But no, anyway, and then we find out that it turns out that the voice that he hears is actually an alien that's symbiotically bonded with him. And then we have a pretty awful moment where you have all the other characters like, oh, it's this alien. It's this type of alien. We will now explain what it is, even though we all know what it is. Sure, the readers don't know, but the characters are explaining it to each other. It's like it's an absolutely atrocious scene, because it's like a bunch of college professors talking about, oh, hey, look, we're talking about something we already know, and yes, and as you know, of course, and I'm like, oh, Lord. It's like there's... you need a character that doesn't know what the heck is going on, except he's away, and they're just explaining it to each other, and everyone has input. Like, blah, 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 this. Blah, 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 that. Blah, 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 this. And it's like, you all already know this, obviously. Are you just trying to show off who's smarter? It's like, this is quite possibly the one of the worst written, hey, look, we've just revealed this thing, and I'm going to explain it to you now, dear reader. And I'm, you need a character that doesn't know what's going on, so skip this scene and explain it to the character that obviously has no idea what's going on. And then, yeah, and then later on, after they defeat the monster, the alien starts to explain, I am this thing. Except, at first I was like, oh, don't you freaking dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare explain it again. Fortunately, they didn't explain it again, but I'm like, this is where you should have explained it. This was atrocious writing. I mean, this was just terrible. I mean, the art style's nice, but...
And the art style's nice.
Yeah, and the whole concept of here's the main character where his special thing is he keeps hearing a voice. You know, that's an interesting concept. And the reveal that it's an alien is like, okay, fair enough, but... It's just executed terribly.
Ugh. Yeah, I have to admit, while I was trying to reread this again, because I read it before it debuted on here, because I already knew what was going on, I was like, okay, I'll just try and read it, try and see what I missed. And when I got to that point, I was just going, wait, or explain this thing before to each other, instead of explaining to the person who doesn't know what it is.
Yeah. It's like, right. Don't explain it to the reader. The reader does not exist for you, you putz.
To be honest, it was just getting slow for me. I was like, okay,
It was really slow. It was a lot of, oh, nobody likes me, blah, 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 my life. Oh, look, aliens. Oh, but nobody likes me. This girl doesn't like me, blah, blah, blah.
Well, she doesn't like him because she thinks he's a pervert.
Yeah, but it's still awful. It's boring characters, boring execution. The concept is fun, but no. Anyway, what's the next manga to talk about? We have a new Shokugeki no Soma, right?
Yep, we do. Chapter 88.
Excellent. Let me pull that up. Yeah. Oh yes, I don't actually need to pull that up. I remember what it's about. We get to see Soma's food, and it turns out that hodgepodge of meat is actually the visual metaphor used is it's a theme park as opposed to Mimasaka's delicately balanced House of Cards, where, sure, the House of Cards is perfectly put together and hard to do, but frickin' theme park. It's like, what would you rather experience? A House of Cards? Well, possibly the TV show. Or Disneyland.
Disneyland!
Yeah.
Disneyland.
Indeed.
I've been there once. I have not been there again. I'm so sad.
Mr. lives in California. I've been there, like, God, honestly, I think I've only been there, like, twice, three times. Once that I can remember, but then I'm pretty sure I went other times when I was a kid. And now I'm like, it would be fun, but I do not want to deal with the crowds. But
yeah, I don't want to deal with the crowds either. Anyway, the only way I experienced Disneyland was in a video game, and that was in a mod of it.
Yeah. Well, carrying on, what I also...
The zombies!
Really, yeah. Anyway, what I also really like about is how our team is moving away from the I have eaten something and suddenly it is an orgasmic experience. Hey, enjoy this, readers. You see that? Fan service. No, but here it's more like, it's more creative with it. Unless, of course, you count the fan service of seeing that one dude in a schoolgirl outfit.
Dojima's awesome.
He is pretty fantastic.
Oh my goodness, this is gold.
Yeah.
This is gold.
What I also really love is how Yukihira explains that, Soma explains that, why the meat, this mix of meats is so good. It's, you know, because he cooked them all individually to the perfect consistency. And I was like, oh, yeah, there you go. And it turns out, you know, he didn't completely empty his mind. He was still thinking about what to do. He just didn't make it obvious, and he didn't just go one step beyond. He went many steps beyond. And, yeah. And he ends up winning, which, on the one hand, seems like it was a little easy, but on the other hand, it's been executed so well, where we just wanted to see Mima Sokka get his butt kicked. So
no, it actually made sense because, like you said, with the House of Cards compared to the theme park, mm-hmm. it makes sense because Mima Sokka just tries to arrange everything perfectly and advance one step beyond his opponent. Well, Soma, he's always developing. He even said he was developing even during the Shokugeki. I was like, holy crap, this guy, that's a chef right there. He doesn't just stay one step and just stay there. And he just keeps moving on until he has to get better at it and continues to get better at it. Mm-hmm. That's what you call being perfection. You can't be perfect.
Yeah. You know, indeed, it is true. I mean, and that's one thing that I like about the series, how it actually does focus on the, that it focuses on why certain foods are better. It gives you a good explanation as opposed to being, this is better. Why? I don't know. But, yeah. Also, I just want to say, I've been rereading the first volume, and something that I forgot to mention when we reviewed the first volume, and this is something, a problem that I have with a lot of manga, is that when the characters don't do the obvious thing, like for example, when Yukihira, when Soma realizes that the store has been broken into, and that the meat's been destroyed, and then this land shark comes up, and she's like, oh, I want meat, give me meat, oh wait, you can't. That's around the time that I would have called the cops, because she pretty much just confessed to, oh hey, I broke into your store and I destroyed your... And I destroyed your property. Oh. And I'm just like, call the cops. She's going to jail because she has admitted to it. Although, what I would also do if I were in that situation, then I saw the person that I suspected was there, I'd pull out my phone and start recording. And then the moment she says, oh, wait, you can't make me meet because, and then I'd be like, okay, how do you know that? And at that point, I'd call the cops and say, hey, look, she pretty much confessed to it. You're going to arrest her? Instead of doing the whole, I will show off my cooking skills, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, do the smart thing. Have this person arrested. But anyway, that was that. Let's move on to Fairy Tale.
Yeah, this chapter was awesome. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm still talking about Shogun.
Oh, sorry, yeah, go ahead.
It was just really, I mean, it was, actually, I almost thought that someone was actually going to lose to, Mima Sokka, and then it'll actually send the series a different way, but then everyone would have thought it would end in some really very not really liked way. That would have been very subtle if it ended that way anyway, but still, it was just hilarious. This series is pretty much the second incarnation of Yakitate Japan. It clearly is.
Well, yeah.
Except not focusing on just bread.
Well, yeah. It is, and yeah, it is cute. I do enjoy it. I've been having fun with it, but yeah.
I like it more in Sashi's classroom.
Yeah, I could see that.
I do.
Yeah, I could see that. It's kind of a tie for me with the two of them, but yep, let's see. All right, did you have anything else you wanted to add about that?
Nah, let's move on to Fairy Tale.
Okay, Fairy Tale, chapter 402. And it's just remind myself. Yeah. Okay, it's Natsu and Igneo fighting their respective enemies using the same moves, which is kind of fun. And then Mard Gear calls Kyoka and tells her, "Hey, you need to set off the bombs now." And she's like, "Oh, but the people that could set them off are gone." He's like, "No, fuse with the place and then make an organic link and control it." And then she's like, "I'm going to die if I do that." And he's like, "So?" And she's like, "Oh, no, I'll do it." And then she fuses, and she's about to set off the bomb. Or however that thing went. But yeah, so she and Urza fight some more. And it turns out Urza's armor has been cut, because of course it has. Yeah, that was very silly. It's like, yeah, steel, been cut. And oh, hey, look, fan service is coming. Oh, gosh. Oh, Fairy Tale. I enjoy you, but sometimes you're just silly. Yep. What did you think about this chapter, Mo? For the love of... Okay, yeah, I don't really have that much more to add. I mean, it's besides the promise of silly fan service, I did enjoy. I mean, it is nice to see the villains being villains and the heroes being heroes, etc., and all that fun stuff. I don't really have much to say about this specific chapter. Just, yeah. It was kind of an in-between chapter, you know. We moved from Ignio and Natsu's fight to the, back to Kyoka and Urza's fight, and we didn't really get any main big resolution on either of them. It's more just, let's focus on getting these, setting up the next part of this fight, which promises to be much fan service, because that's what happens in Fairy Tail, of course. All right. Well, I'm going to move on to Seven Deadly Sins, whether you like it or not. All right, and let's see. We've actually got two chapters this week, starting with chapter 96. And let's see, this one is, it's chapter 95 is what I need, and come on, go to the beginning of 95, there we go. Alright. Chapter 95, and we continue the fight, and all the knights are pretty much useless. They're all getting defeated quite readily, and there's not really much to point out in chapter 95 specifically, except that you've got which one was it? Hendrickson. That's about to use a big, massive ball of black energy on Meliodas.
Oh, dark snow again?
Yeah, except it's one big snowball.
Yeah.
Do you want to build a snowman of death? Sorry.
Don't remind me that. I'm getting tired of hearing that series.
Yeah, you shut it. I love that movie. Anyway, yeah, so it turns out that Hawk is going to protect them, except... Oh no, could he possibly protect them? Turn to chapter 96 to find out. And the answer is, well, yes, but...
Wait, there's a chapter 96? I saw that, I was like, wait.
I know, yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, I didn't even know we're getting two chapters this week. What?
I was a little confused, because at first I was like, wait a minute, there's two chapters I haven't read. 95 says new. Was that last week? Did I miss it? What the heck? So I was just skimming through it, I was like, no, I haven't read this.
Because Fairy Tail always tells us Mashima will be doing like two chapters or three chapters next week. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay. Well, this one's like 72 chapters. I'm like, dude, I was not prepared for this.
Yeah.
What the heck, man?
And it's an interesting chapter because Hawk straight up gets died. Killed. That's what I meant. He protects them, takes the attack, and his body's gone all black, and he's pretty dead.
Totally, I actually felt bad. I mean, even though he wasn't, he's still a major character.
Right, yeah.
Talking pig, I still want to know how that even works out.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like he doesn't seem to do anything important ever. He's kind of like that character on the fringes, but the seeing him like that is sort of like, I don't know, I was kind of reminded as like, oh wait, was he in this series? I have a hard time remembering, which he has, but it's just like he's... hasn't left much of an impression, which is weird for a mascot character.
I totally forgot he's a mascot character.
Yeah, this chapter almost feels like this one character got introduced randomly in this arc, and now they are dead because they sacrificed themselves, and all the characters are furious. And I'm just, why are you angry? This person didn't do anything. Then I'm like, he's been here since the beginning, but he just didn't seem to leave much of an impact. It's weird.
Yeah.
I guess the problem is that the recent chapters, that's when you're reading a weekly series, you gotta have a character be involved leading up to their sacrifice. Otherwise, a lot of this stuff recently has just been felt unimportant. It's kind of like how when Neji got killed in Naruto. It's like, oh, yeah. Hey, look, he's dead. That is so sad. He hasn't done anything in years. But this feels a little less weird than with Neji. But yeah, then we also find out that, turns out that Elizabeth has some kind of power, some kind of healing power that she's used to help her father and Veronica, which, oh, okay, that's why Veronica's still alive. And she
makes
never,
sense.
Yeah, that she's never realized that Elizabeth has this powerful magic in her, and it's the blood that flows through the druid priestess, and Elizabeth has an eye thing now. And she can use, yeah, she can use healing magic. Which, on the one hand, it's really silly that the chick is the one with the healing magic. But at the same time, it's also kind of hilarious that they play it off as being, like, the ultimate most powerful magic ever. Which
it is?
Well, that's the way they're playing it off.
On the side of the goddess, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's the thing that I always find kind of interesting. Because it's like, oh, yeah, she's the chick. She's the healer. And yet, at the same time, it's... you know, it's overshadowed how powerful such an ability would be. Like with Orihime, she can undo anything, and yet people are like, oh, she's not powerful enough, or she's too powerful, or she should fight.
Yeah, and then the payoff was she didn't really, well, she did bring Ichigo back alive,
well,
but
yeah.
That's kind of it.
But, you know, I mean, so often it's the girl as the healer, and yet, and it's always treated like, yeah, yeah, whatever, we needed a healer, and we need a reason for this love interest to be here. But here it's like, you know, it's massively important. You know, it's like the lead up to this massive reveal that she has this power, and it turns out it's a healing power, which, if that were, you know, if magic were real in the real world, then the ability to heal anything would be the greatest power ever. Forget throwing fireballs and all that. Being
teleportation, please.
Yeah, being a healer that can bring people back to life would be the greatest power ever, i.e. reference CG.
I see, no, I take it back. I want teleportation. I don't like walking.
Well, yeah. I'd still be like, you know, dude, healing? I heal everything. My eyes, healed. My nose, healed. Haha. Unless I couldn't use it on myself, in which case I'd be like, this blows. But nonetheless,
yeah.
Fantastic. I love this. I like how they're treating the ability to heal, and that they're not just being all, oh, look, this is the love interest. We need a reason to have her here. Hey, let's have her be the healer. You know? I enjoy that. So, anyway, I think that's about it. Were there any other manga we needed to go over, do you think?
Well, I just want to put my input about Fairy Tail, since I missed out on that due to outside disturbances. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good chapter. The whole Kyoko merging to become the, new face, and also, oh man, they got another thing going on. Okay, it makes sense. It's still like, geez, and well, there. So, yeah. That chapter was okay, I guess you say, that one. But this one, 7 Deadly Sins actually wins in this case.
Yeah, well, also extra material. Though chapter 94, 95, whichever one it was, did feel like a bit of a, like it could have been shorter.
95, no, you mean?
It felt like, you know, of 7 Deadly Sins, it felt like they could have been one single chapter, you know, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was kind of, like, leading up to the big moment, but anyway.
I wonder if Sonic even did. It probably has to stay dead, it'll surprise him, but no, we got the revealings of the healer. He won't die. He won't.
Indeed. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap things up, shall we?
Yes, let's do that. Let's
record
do that right
time. Alright, this has been Manga Cubed episode 115. Did I say 15?
115.
Oh man, we've done more than I realized since episode 100. Yeah, 115 for the week of September 29th, 2014. This week we went over Attack on Titan 12 and 13. Oh wait, no, we didn't. We went over 12.
Yes, we went over 12.
Yep. We also talked about the chapters, and we have, yes, let's go over the author comments, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. The anime starting, early risers can watch it on TV. Everyone else, please record it. Actually, good point. I need to see when that comes out, because I kind of want to watch that. Next.
Yeah, I do want to check it out and see how it works out. Okay, Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I bought a really new bed. I sleep so well now, it's like everything before wasn't real.
Nice. I need a nice.
I won't say about that, but okay.
Yeah. Sporting Souls, Yuto Kubota. There are more and more cool days now. Everyone, please take care of yourself and have fun. Indeed.
It's not cool today.
Ha ha. Suck it.
I just went outside. Take out the trash.
Suck it, California boy.
That's why I was not there for Fairy Tail, guys. Anyways, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shinbokuro. They don't put enough in the refills you get for shampoo and liquid soap. I want to fill the bottle up to the top. Well, there's a reason why they don't do that. It's like the thing with the potato chip bags, although that might have been an excuse to just try and take more money out of it.
Wait, they have shampoo refills? Weird.
They do?
Apparently, I just buy a new bottle, but then again, I guess this is more environmentally friendly. Alright, Nisekoi is Naoshikome. A premium G-Pen was released by Zebra. It's easy to use, and gold is so cool. Wait, G-Pen. Zebra? I need to look into this. I love Zebra.
Oh, well, I just thought of Zebra. I thought of Toriko Zebra. Sorry.
No, it's a pen brand.
Okay. I think I've heard before, too, though. I don't know. Was it? No.
Yeah, well, I mean, those are the pens that I have. Granted, they're the cheaper. Which ones are they? Let me grab this. That one doesn't have the name on it. Come on.
Okay.
Ah, there we go. The F402. Yeah. Except I.
My turn.
Yes, go on.
Hi-Fi Cluster's Ipe Goto. What Yusaku Shibata said last week is true. I'm going to work really hard too. Wait. Okay. Whatever.
Fair cool. Enough.
Cool. Don't disappoint us. I want to see your series go far. Because even though it is kind of similar to Nobunaga, at least the main character is a guy, not a girl. Sorry, I don't like. Well.
Yeah, well.
Actually, I'm quite sure Nobunaga is good too. I tried reading it. That was actually pretty good. So this one's more of an adaptation of the anime in manga form.
Indeed.
Okay, your turn. Go ahead.
My turn, yes. Tite Kubo, a bright bath makes life. What are you still going on about that?
just imagine if somehow Hunter x Hunter comes back, and then the first thing Togashi talked about is still, like, this thing is still, this the thing that's still, it's like the seventh thing and eighth thing is what goes missing, like, he's still talking about that.
Yeah.
Well, at least Hunter x Hunter's back. Oh yeah, Hunter x Hunter is still not back. Sorry.
No, it isn't.
Just need to mention that.
Sorry, folks. Alright.
Yeah.
I think, shall we do the...
He's busy playing Dragon Quest X, probably. That's a joke.
Or possibly being unhealthy, which hopefully he gets better.
Yeah, that too.
Alright, let's see. There we go. Got my refills, putting my Zebra pens, of which I now have three waiting to be used. See, that's the problem with Zebra pens, is that you buy the pen, and they have refills. But then not everywhere has the refills. So you're like, I'm going to buy more of the pens, and now I have more pens than I need, and I keep finding refills. So, yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah, let's do the rankings, shall we? Mo. Whatever. Alright, rankings. Oh, that is a good question this week. Let's see, number one was... Oh, there's no One Piece crap. I'd have to say number one... Yes. Yes. No. Yes. Yes. And yes. Alright. My fourth place is Sporting Salt. Because, you know, I liked it a lot more on second look. Just because I like the classic format that it uses for its storytelling. What's your fourth place, Mo?
Okay, my fourth place would be Nisekoi.
Seriously? Good grief. Alright. Yeah.
But, Nisekoi. It's my favorite of the girls. Well, actually, it was the only girl. I forget which one. There's too many of them. It was a good chapter. And with the whole, the whole Tsugumi eccentric chapter, is nice, and it's just, like I said, still the same Tsugumi stuff, for something a little different for once. Still better than whatever was below it, what's below it for me.
Yeah. All right, number three for me was Bleach.
Okay.
I just really liked it. It was a lot of fun, And so, I like fun. Fun is good. Good times.
Okay.
So, yeah. What was your number three?
I would say World Trigger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, like I said, the whole thing about, okay, you know, you can't, if they're too strong, you need to stall them, and if they're way stronger than you are, you run away. Okay. By time, regardless of by time. That's the only strategy. If people think that that the only option is to beat someone, no matter how weak you are, they're stupid. Mm. I'm going to say that. I'm going to be the one person that says they're stupid. Because you're going to die. That's the only option you're going to have.
Indeed.
Okay.
Let's see. Sorry, I was looking at refills, pen refills. Number two, World Trigger.
Okay.
I just really enjoyed it. It was fun. You know,
okay.
It was interesting, it was exciting, etc. What was your number two?
Sporting Salt.
Okay. Interesting.
It was good. It was better than the first chapter, as far as I can say that much.
Okay.
Better than the first chapter. And with the whole, you know, even though the guy with the whole leg injury, it makes sense because, you know, he doesn't want to lose, doesn't want the team to lose, and he'll still practice anyway to be better than all of them for them. But at the same time, you know, resting his legs was actually a good idea. And showing that in a way, when resting his legs, why might it seem a bit far-fetched? At the same time, when you really don't use something that's injured, it actually does heal faster. Actually, that's the reason why they don't use your leg. Don't be playing soccer so much your leg breaks, you know?
Yeah.
Your leg breaks, let it heal. Don't go playing soccer and break it again.
Let it heal. Can't
make that song.
No, can't make that song. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I also, what I liked about it is how it, you know, it did the healing in an interesting way. Because normally you think, wait, so the main plot point of the chapter is having him not do anything. That's boring. But they actually managed to pull it off. So, kudos.
Yeah.
And all right, we now have number one. My number one was Nisekoi, because it was hilarious.
My number one Sci-Fi cluster, because Isaac Newton, for some reason.
Oh.
His gravity powers. Like you said, gravity is an overpowered power.
The fact that why'd they give it to him so soon? That's so stupid.
Well, maybe it'll be a way to actually keep him from actually making it too overpowered in some way. But
depends on whether that one comes back. I don't know. I'm thinking Judo's and Sporting Salt are more what I want.
Yeah, I would. I'm more of a Sci-Fi cluster and Sporting Salt. Judo's, I know Judo's has potential. It definitely has potential. It's just that it feels like it's gonna be pretty short.
Yeah, that is true. True. All right. Well, I think that's that. So yeah, we are done for the week. Just remember, if you have any questions or comments, send them to us. We shall answer them on air. So send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or look us up, Burning Lizard, on Twitter. And that is that. So just remember, folks, the manga is always better, and we will see you next week.